Okay, well, pick back up over at the end of Galatians 4. And we're still looking at Paul's setting forth of the contrast of the two covenants, using the stories of Ishmael and Isaac, Hagar and Sarah, to set those forth, showing the way of flesh and man's work as contrasted to the promise, God's free and sovereign grace. And we may finish this up this week. Maybe we won't. Then we'll get over into chapter 5, where Paul's going to explain something about Christian liberty that folks may listen to Paul, and Paul was accused of things because they listened to part of what he said, that, you know, that, well, that's sin that grace may abound, is what he was charged of one time. That's the exact opposite of what's transpiring here. Christian liberty makes us free to serve God, free to be what he'd have us to be. And we've already talked about, I'm getting off a little bit, but God puts his law in our hearts, say. It's different than the old time. It was out there and you had to do and do and do. But he puts it in your heart. And that's what we strive for as a child of God. And that's what God alone can really accomplish. So we looked over the contrasts here. And as Paul's been speaking about Ishmael, the way of the flesh, the way of man works, and Isaac, the way of promise. In verse 28, where we left off last week, Paul said, "Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise." All of God's people, all of the elect of God, are the children of promise. What a glorious statement, you know, that is. Isaac had been promised to Abraham and Sarah. And God intervened and through divine intervention brought that about when it was beyond the capability of humanity. God's free and sovereign grace saves his people, which is beyond the capability of any humanity. So much more so of what concerning Isaac is applied to the spiritual seed of Abraham, the elect of God, of which Isaac is but a type and a picture. We are the children of promise. In Ephesians, Paul said, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. As Brother Howe mentioned in his prayers, there are no new names written down in glory. God knew his people from before the foundation of the world. And he recorded their name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Then he goes on in that verse, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, which we'll get into in chapter 5, Paul says, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. The children of promise, Christ came to redeem his people, to save his people from their sins. Paul says in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 12, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church I will sing praise unto thee. And again I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. God gave a people. God the Father gave a people to God the Son. And he'll not lose any of them. Never fall through the cracks. And behold, I and the children which God hath given me, the children of promise, forasmuch then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Chains are broken. We're the children of promise. It's not of works, but of promise. It's not of human effort, but of promise. It's not of some obligation or debt, because God is no man's debtor. It's of promise. It's not because something you said or you did, but it's by promise. It's because of what Jesus Christ did, and that alone. And as Paul asked in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 7, for who maketh thee to differ from another? That verse always comes to my mind. You know, dealing with folks and these proud Arminians and, you know, I did this, I decided that. Who made you to differ from another? And I think about that applies to more than just our salvation. By the grace of God, we are who we are. And there's nothing for which we can take credit or glory. Who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? Then he goes on to tell us in verse 29 concerning the children of the flesh and the children of the spirit. Verse 29, but as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. The promise of Isaac didn't sit well with Ishmael. We read in Genesis 21 and verse 8, and the child grew, speaking of Isaac, and the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, but she had borne unto Abraham mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. He that's after the flesh persecutes he who's after the spirit. Paul says, even so it is now. Even so it was always. Well, you go back to the garden. Cain kills Abel, because Abel's sacrifice was received of God, because Abel's heart was right. And because Abel's heart was right, he offered that sacrifice that God demanded. And it infuriated Cain. And Ishmael's upset. So it was in the time of our Lord, the apostles, the Jews that rose up and hated the Gentiles. Pagan Rome that hated our Christian forefathers. The Judaizers here in Galatia that come under a cloak of concern. Reality, a jealousy, and a hatred of God's free and sovereign grace that embraced the Gentiles as Gentiles. Said, oh, you got to become a Jew. So did pagan, pseudo-Christian Rome against our Baptist forebears. They hate the truth. They hate the children of the truth. They hate the true heirs. Ishmael was jealous and upset. Isaac was the son of promise. He was the true heir. He was the descendant of the true wife. And ever the jealousy and the persecution, Paul says here. There's much in Scripture said of that. We'll just touch on a couple things here as a side here. Because, brethren, it's waxing worse and worse in our time. And you see attempts. They don't always get to follow them through. But you see attempts to restrict the expression of our faith, and to limit the expression of our faith. and proscribe the expression of our faith. And right now it's not succeeding in every instance, but it's there, it's that undercurrent, and it's growing. The Apostle Peter wrote in his first epistle in 1 Peter 4 and verse 12, he said, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified." Peter said, you're the children of the promise. It speaks of the Spirit of glory. Shouldn't surprise us that the children of the flesh don't like that. In fact, the persecution that comes from them is an indication that we are children of promise, that we are born after the Spirit. Listen to our Lord in Matthew 10 and verse 16. He said, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues." The secular and the religious world is going to hate you and persecute you. And they shall be brought before, and ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for testimony against them and the Gentiles." Gives a testimony against them. Their being, who they were, what God had accomplished in them was a testimony, and they didn't like it. The world doesn't like the truth. They don't want to hear the truth. Their own actions testify against them, even as did Ishmael's. His jealousy, his mocking. And it is an indication and a proof that they're born only after the flesh. Again, the Lord says in John 16 and verse 1, he said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of their synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doth God service." Paul here said, even so it is now. So it was with our Baptist forefathers through history. The Romanists and others thought they were doing God's service by murdering our Baptist forebears. Even so it is now that the time may well come again, and perhaps sooner than any of us think, that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. And these things they will do unto you. Why? Because they have not known the Father nor me. It's not a strange thing. They don't know God. They don't know Christ. They don't recognize his offspring. They don't recognize the legitimate heirs. Because they have not known the Father nor me. The children of darkness hate the children of light. That's no surprise. Again, the Lord said in Luke 6 and verse 22, he said, "Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, they shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice ye in that day, and leap for joy. For behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. Paul says, even so it is now, even so it was throughout the history of Israel. You know, the true elect remnant within Israel was hated by the religious crowd. They were persecuted by the religious crowd. And yet again, it's an indication of their election. It's an indication that they're the children of promise. And they have coming yet a greater reward. So Paul says, but as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. Even so it is now, these Judaizers. Again, they may have had a surface motive of concern, but I think it's clear their motivation was jealousy. Jealousy of their standing as Jews. Kind of like Ishmael. Ishmael said, well, I was here first. I was the firstborn. I should have the inheritance. I should receive the treasures. And so they come in and require these Gentiles that they got to have to become Jews in order to receive the blessings of God. They boast of their works. They boast of their self-righteousness. They can't tolerate the children of grace. You know, they received this just like Abraham threw a feast for Isaac. They received this not by their own doing, but by the grace of God as a result of the promise. And it infuriates those that are after the flesh and seeking to boast of the flesh and their own works. And so Ishmael says, am I not the eldest? Don't I deserve the inheritance? Wasn't I here first? But God doesn't see as men see. And God doesn't work as men work. And it's akin, at least, to what, you know, the Armenians again today as well. Everybody gets a chance. You know, I should be received. And everybody should have a chance. And the chance will get you right to hell. Because there's no hope. Unless God intervenes by the promise. And then Paul continues in verse 30. He says, nevertheless, what saith the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son. The son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. This picture in this type, those that are under the covenant of works and flesh, they're the offspring, like Hagar represents the covenant, and her offspring are those that are under that covenant. Paul says, cast out that bondwoman and cast out her son. Genesis 21, verse 8. And the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast the same day when Isaac was weaned. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which had been born unto Abraham, mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. In spite of all their protestations, all their reliance on their own good works, their own external obedience, they're just born after the flesh. They're just the sons of the bondwoman. And ultimately and finally, they're cast out. We see in Genesis 1, Genesis 21 and verse 11. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. Now he had concern for Ishmael after the flesh. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. And God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad, and because of thy bondwoman, and all that Sarah hath said unto, hearken unto her voice. For in Isaac shall thy seed be called. In Isaac shall thy seed be called. And in Isaac alone would that promise be fulfilled. And so it is with the elect of God. Nothing we have to glory in. Isaac didn't do anything. It wasn't Isaac's doing. It wasn't Abraham's doing. It wasn't Sarah's doing. It was the intervention of God in his doing. And in Isaac and Isaac alone, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And the promise fulfilled. And so it is with the elect of God. And they alone. In spite of all the protestations of your modern Ishmaels, you know, whether they be an organized religion or ceremonial, ritualistic religion, or the Arminians and evangelicalism or whatever these things, listen, and Isaac shall thy seed be called. And the promise of God, the Lord said in John 10, no, Ishmaels don't like it. You understand that? They don't like it. And the fact that they don't like it shows who and what they are. John 10 and verse 11, the Lord said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. Can almost see the Judaizers in there, can't you? The Lord said, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold. The Lord's talking to these Jews. The Galatian Christians. The Archer Christians. The Lord said, other sheep I have that are not of this fold. Them also will I bring, and they shall hear my voice. There shall be one fold and one shepherd. Now these folks, these Judaizers, kept still trying to proclaim their preeminence and their prominence and their precedence. The Lord said, I've got other sheep, they're all coming. There'll be one fold and one shepherd. And that God's sheep amongst the Gentiles never set right with the unregenerated Jews. Now the elect of God within the Jews, Paul was one of them. Peter was one of them. But these Judaizers, these others, these proud, unregenerated Jews that thought they should have the preeminence and the prominence, God's sheep amongst the Gentiles just never set right. They claim priority. We spent some time months back, talking about the kind of the modern Hebrews roots movement, which is the same sort of thing that's trying to bring in this Judaizing and this element of the flesh as opposed to the spirit. In John 10 and verse 25, the Lord said, Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness on me. But ye believed not. Because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Well, those Jews that the Lord was talking to, they really liked that. They all stood up and applauded. Oh, no. Next verse says, then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. You preach free and sovereign grace, and they're going to pick up stones to stone you, even if you're the very Son of God. The proclamation of free and sovereign grace doesn't sit well with the reprobates. It doesn't sit well with the free willers. It doesn't sit well with the Arminians. And it doesn't matter if the words come from the mouth of the Savior. They're angry. They would seek to kill him. And the bottom line is, Paul tells us again in this verse, the bondwoman and her son shall be cast out. The covenant of works, the covenant of the flesh, the covenant of external obedience to the law, live and do, is cast out, and all of her children. God's way and God's grace are the only way to the inheritance. The promise of God. And then we get to the conclusion of the matter, a verse that I repeated almost every week since we've been on this study. And Paul kind of brings it together and wraps it up here. He says, so then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. So then, brethren, the Jews and the Gentiles there in Galatia that are the elect of God, that have been born of the Spirit. He says, so then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Now, what a glorious and blessed assertion that is. You didn't make yourself a child of the free woman. Child doesn't make himself the son of a mother. Oh, God did that. Isaac was the seed of promise. All of God's elect, be they Gentiles, be they Jews, all of God's elect are children of the free woman. And they alone. Isaac was the offspring of Sarah, not Ishmael. And he alone was the child of promise. And the elect of God are the offspring of the covenant of grace, the offspring of that everlasting covenant, and not of works. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman. Why would you want to go back to that kind of stuff? That's not your mother. That's not where you came from. So then, children, we are not. Or so then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. And then, okay, I kind of finished that up. Next week we'll get to chapter 5. And if I live long enough, we'll eventually finish Galatians. Who knows? Brother, I had some contact, corresponded with Brother Almeida a little bit, and told him I appreciated seeing him up and stuff, and I guess they've been working through Galatians, and he said it took them a year or something. He said whenever, like you, whatever. Takes you forever, basically, is what he was saying. It was a blessing to hear from him and talk about God's free and sovereign grace. And he spoke again of the opposition, you know, against sovereign grace, the opposition to those truths that come from Scripture. And next week we're going to get in chapter 5, and Paul here gets into a defense of what you might call true Christian liberty, which is not libertinism, which is not license, which is not licentiousness, but true Christian liberty. And then in chapter 1 of verse 5, Paul says this, just to set the tone, because Paul's saying what he's saying in chapter 5 based on what went before. He says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. You've all heard the old expression, when you come to Scripture and you see therefore, you stop and ask yourself what? What's it there for? You know, when the writer Paul says, therefore, say, what's that there for? Well, it's there for because of what went before. Paul says, stand fast, therefore. Because you are children of the free woman. Because you are children of the promise. Therefore, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. And we'll pick up there, and Lord willing, pick up there and go on from there next week. Okay, let's take our hymnals this morning. And we'll turn to page number 208. Very appropriate song, How Happy Every Child of Grace, number 208. And if you like, you can stand as we sing this out to the Lord this morning, 208. Father, we do thank you for this day. We thank you for your eternal love. We thank you, Lord, that by your grace, we're children of the promise. We're children of the free woman. And Lord, we know that that was through none of our doing, but all by yours. Pray, Lord, that our lives might show forth whose we are. Lord, I thank you for each one that's here today. I pray your hand on them through the coming week. Give them a measure of strength that you guide our paths and our ways, that you might again be glorified in your people. Lord, we pray for those that need your healing hand. Many that we've lifted up. Again, we thank especially of young Audrey Tanzillo, who's been through so much, and seems to face even more, and yet her testimony of trust in me. Lord, may you use that to your glory. Father, we thank you for the assurance and the knowledge that you work all things together for the good of your people. And we can rest in that. Father, help us to stand as we ought in these difficult and confusing and ever increasingly hostile times in which we live. To realize, Lord, that you've warned us of these things to come. The children of the flesh will ever persecute the children of the Spirit. And Lord, may you receive glory even in that. Thank you again for our Savior. Thank you for his all-sufficient atoning death. Thank you for the work of the Spirit that gave us life and faith and repentance, that we might hear and embrace the gospel of our salvation. And we pray in his precious name. Amen.
Amen.